This is session number 73 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter number 10. And last time we covered verses 19 through 26. We're looking at Jesus in Jerusalem. And now it's the Feast of the Dedication, which is known as Hanukkah. It's in the wintertime. And he's walking in Solomon's porch, and the Jews come round about him. And they come out and say, "How long are you going to make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." So again, they don't want all these mysteries and parables and metaphors. Although honestly, in the Gospel of John, as we've seen Christ's ministry in Jerusalem, he's spoken pretty plainly and openly. But again, doubters and unbelievers, no matter how much truth you give to them and no matter how straight you give it to them, they're never going to believe. Unless something happens in their heart, unless the Father does something in their heart and something shifts and changes and there's a repentance, it's never going to be enough. And so Jesus answered them straight up and said, I told you, and you believe not. But now we're going to see, he's going to point to the works, and he's going to come back to this later. It's a key thing, and we looked at this last time. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. So, those who are not of Christ's sheep, those who are not of the truth, they can't hear his word, they can't understand his speech, they can't believe in him. They're of a completely different spirit. They're not getting it. But we'll see, there is still hope for them, possibly, to find repentance and to be converted. And so he is going to ultimately point them to his works. They could look at the works and see the works, and then maybe through the works they could come to faith. But he first deals with this issue of the sheep. And so today we come to verse 27, and he's going to reveal some wonderful truths about his relationship with his sheep and wonderful things that he is going to do for his sheep. Just eternal, beautiful truths. And then also he's going to reveal an even greater truth, not just about the relationship of him with his sheep. He's also going to talk about his Father with his sheep, but not just about the Father with the sheep, but an even greater truth about him and his Father. And it's going to cause some serious controversy and stir up some real hatred. So I don't know how far we'll get, but let's start in verse 27, and we're going to read through verse 30, and then we'll take it from there. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, please still our hearts and our minds, subdue our spirits, and arrest and quicken our souls to receive of thy words of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at these wonderful truths and promises regarding Christ and his sheep. First thing Jesus says is, he says, "My sheep hear my voice." Now we could even just stop with "my sheep." Remember, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Oh, glory to God. When we can truly say, like David, that the Lord is my shepherd, and it is the truth. And here Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, is now speaking. David was as one of the sheep speaking, saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," and that's beautiful. But here, even more beautiful and even greater, here's the good shepherd speaking, saying, "My sheep." He's taking ownership. They belong to him. Remember back in chapter 6, "All that the Father giveth me cometh to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Father brings the sheep to Christ. Christ receives them. They become his sheep. He says, "My sheep." Now here's the first thing about his sheep. The first thing you want to say, "My sheep, hear my voice." In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8, the bride of Solomon cried out and said, "The voice of my beloved," exclamation point, crying out, "the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." Amen. Jesus said, "My sheep, hear my voice." Yeah, like Jeremiah said, you know, I said, "I'm not going to speak in his name anymore. I'm not going to speak in his word anymore." But his word was like a fire within me, and I could not forbear. Jesus, "My sheep, hear my voice." Have you heard the voice of the good shepherd speaking to your heart? The bride knows her bridegroom's voice and cries out, says, "The voice of my beloved." Now you say, "I've never heard Jesus. I've never heard him speak." Jesus said, "My sheep, hear my voice." Now look, reading the Bible doesn't mean you've heard the voice of Christ. Paul the Apostle, in the book of Acts, when testifying to the Jews in Acts chapter 13, verse 27, says, "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not," talking about Christ, "nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him." So here were people in Jerusalem who heard the scriptures every Sabbath day. They would come, they would hear the scriptures, they would read the scriptures. But Paul says they didn't know Christ and they didn't hear the voices of the prophets. They're hearing the prophets read, but they didn't hear the voices of the prophets. He said, "My sheep, hear my voice." Just because you read a Bible, just because you go to church, just because you hear sermons, doesn't mean you've heard the voice of the good shepherd. Only his sheep hear his voice. Now, practically, the way his voice comes to us is through hearing the scriptures and what he spoke, and hearing the gospel, the good news about Christ and this power of God unto salvation. When we hear the doctrine of Christ and what he taught and what he spoke and the good news about the Father and the Son and this great salvation and redemption and atonement in Christ Jesus and victory over sin and victory over the grave and everlasting life and resurrection life, as we hear that, if we are of his sheep, if we have been drawn to him by the Father, then we're hearing his voice. Again, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and this was mostly Gentile believers who never heard Jesus Christ speak literally. They weren't in Israel during the time of his ministry. Jesus only ministered in Israel. And yet Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 20, he says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." He doesn't say you've heard about him and you've been taught about him. He says, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him." See, that's why when Jesus Christ resurrected, he gave his spirit, the spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost. He gave his spirit to those apostles. So when those apostles went forth and preached the gospel and preached the truth of Christ and taught the doctrine of Christ, taught the same things that he commanded his disciples, taught those things, it was the Spirit of Christ in them, speaking through them. And it was literally like Christ himself speaking, because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." He's not talking about, you know, "I actually heard Jesus in the flesh speak to me." You know, the actual sound waves that came from the man Jesus' mouth in the flesh. No, no. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they're life." And so when the Spirit of God moves and a man preaches by the Spirit of God, or when you read the scriptures and the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the waters and moving upon your heart and speaking into your heart, it's the voice of my beloved. It's his voice. You can hear him. You can be taught by him. In fact, if you're one of his sheep, it's a guarantee that you will hear him and you will be taught by him. "My sheep, hear my voice." Second promise, "And I know them." Now, yes, in one sense, God knows everybody. But the scripture says that God knoweth the proud afar off. So yeah, he knows everything about them, but he doesn't really know them in a personal, intimate, close way. He doesn't want to know the proud and the unclean and the ungodly in a personal, intimate way. They're living in filth and uncleanness and wickedness and pride and rebellion. He hates those things. He detests those things. So this is a different type of knowledge we're talking about. Jesus Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Remember what James said in James chapter 4. He said, if you'll draw nigh to God, that means if you'll come close to God, he'll draw nigh to you. If you cleanse your hands, you sinners, if you purify your hearts, you double-minded, if you're afflicted and you mourn and you weep, then the Lord will come close. Because the Lord comes close to those who have a broken heart. And Jesus Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." I know them. It's beautiful. He comes close, and he knows us. In Psalm 139, David says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." Amen. Remember, David was one of the Lord's sheep. "Thou hast searched me and known me." Maybe no one else on this earth truly knows and cares for you and for your soul. But if you truly belong to Jesus Christ, he knows you and he cares. When Christ spoke Mary's name to her in the garden, instantly, she knew it was him. How did she know it was him? Because he knew her. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." "Mary," he said. She turns to him, "Rabboni, Master." It's beautiful that the Lord knows us. And that's really why the Lord wants us to open our hearts to him. Why he wants us to repent of our sin and confess our sin and fear him and turn from the darkness and open our hearts and come into his light. He said he can come close and he can know us because he cares. Third beautiful thing, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them." And the third point is, "And they follow me." Amen. "And they follow me." We'll talk about this later, but I'll make this point now. He doesn't say, "And they might follow me." He doesn't say, "And they'll try to follow me, but they might, you know, not really make it or struggle or go off their own way for most of their life. No. And they follow me. Back in John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, talking about the good shepherd, he says how he calls his own sheep by name, he leads them out, verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So following Christ, following the Good Shepherd, it's all based on hearing and knowing the Master's voice and the trust that he knows us. See, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's not my sheep feel my rod, and I whip them and drive them and force them into the way of life. No. Now, it is true that, you know, we do know his rod or his staff, and he does chasten his own. That is true. But that's not the essence of this relationship. The essence of this relationship is something beautiful. It's something that is built on an intimate knowledge that develops a trust so that there can be a following by faith. But not blind faith, a following by faith based on the hearing of his voice, based on his care and knowing us. And it leads us into this life journey of trust and following after him, and following in his steps. And again, it's beautiful because you see, the good shepherd, he doesn't drive his sheep ahead, but he goes before them. He leads them out, and he goes before them. He leads the way. He's the leader. Never going to lead us somewhere where he hasn't already walked, where he hasn't already gone, where he hasn't already been. Fourth beautiful truth. And I give unto them eternal life. Amen. Notice, I give. It's a gift from the life giver himself. I give. Remember, he already said, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. This is a gift from him. He's the life giver. I give unto them eternal life. We know Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. If you labor in sin, serve sin, well, at the end, you're going to get paid death. But the gift of God, I give unto them. It's the gift of God. Who's given it? It's Jesus Christ given it. The Good Shepherd, God manifest in the flesh. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I give unto them. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He said, and I give unto them eternal life. You know how he can do that? That's because he is eternal life. He is the eternal life that was with the Father and was manifested unto them. And he wasn't just manifested unto them, but ultimately he gave his life so that the sheep could have received this gift of Christ himself, of his life himself, that eternal life that was with the Father. He says, and I give unto them eternal life. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 11 and 12 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How can you be a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ in his pasture and not have eternal life? How can he know you in an intimate, personal, close way where you're hearing his voice and you're following him and you're walking in the light and you not have eternal life? That's impossible, because he is the good shepherd and he is eternal life. And if you have him, you have eternal life. And I give unto them eternal life. Fifth beautiful promise, and they shall never perish. Again, we'll look at this point later, but he doesn't say, and they shall never perish unless, or they shall never perish except. He's giving no exception to this. They shall never perish. So Jesus Christ laying this out straight, his sheep, we cannot perish if we are his sheep. Because if we are of his sheep, we are now in the one who is life everlasting. We are in the one who is everlasting life. How can we perish if we abide in him? Again, John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, right? My sheep hear my voice, and believeth on him that sent me. That's how he comes to know you, personally, intimately. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It's impossible. He said, they shall not come into condemnation. In the context, he's talking about being condemned at the resurrection of damnation, being condemned to the lake of fire. He says, they shall not come into condemnation. He says, and they shall not perish. Why? Because we've passed from death unto life. John chapter 11, we'll see it when we get to the next chapter, but we'll peek ahead. Verse 25 and 26, Jesus is going to say to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He didn't say shall never die unless they do this, or except they do that, just, and they shall never die. Believest thou this? The sixth beautiful truth that the Lord brings forth here about his sheep. You'd think those five would be enough. Here's the sixth one. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You'd think that'd be enough, but he wants to go a step further. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, if Jesus was the man who was stronger than he, that came in and spoiled the devil in all his principalities and powers, if he was that strong man that he talks about in that parable, who's stronger than the strong man and came in and spoiled, then what man or angel or power in heaven or earth is stronger than Christ, the strong man? Again, think about that. If he's the one that's stronger than the strong man who came into the strong man's house and spoiled all his goods, then what angel or principality or power or man on earth is stronger than Christ and can wrestle Christ's sheep out of his hand? No, no, no. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen. I think Paul understood this in Ephesians chapter number 1 when he prayed for the church of Ephesus and prayed for them that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Again, to usward who believe, my sheep who hear my voice, and they believe on him that sent me, pass from death to life. To usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Paul says, man, I want you guys to get this thing. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand this mighty power of God that's to us that believe. It's the same power that resurrected Christ and raised him far above all principality and power, above all dominion, above all might, above every name, both in this world and the world to come. He's going, that's the power that is working toward us that believe. What is that? That's his hand. His hand. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There's no man, there's no woman, there's no beast, there's no angel, there's no principality, there's no fallen angel, there's no demon or devil or even Satan himself that can even come close to the strength of his hand. Colossians 2:15 says that he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You better believe he's the strong man who came in to Satan, the strong man's house, and he spoiled all his goods. Now, I just want to point this out. These six beautiful truths about Christ and his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. These six beautiful truths found in verse 27 and 28. These are stated by Jesus himself as absolute, guaranteed truths with no exception. Listen, whenever Jesus Christ states a truth of God, but there's an exception to it, he will say, except. Ray said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, so the truth, the law is that man can't see the kingdom of God, but there's an exception, except a man be born again. See, if a man's born again, then he gets to see the kingdom of God. Other than that, man doesn't see the kingdom of God. He's not going to see it. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Okay, so there's an absolute rule. Nobody can come to me, but it's not completely absolute. There is an exception. So he gives the exception. He says, no man come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. So whenever Christ is preaching spiritual truth, if there's an exception, he's going to give the exception. If there's not, then his words stand as absolute and guaranteed. Please, let us give the utmost honor and reverence to the holy words of our Lord himself. Let's realize that all of these statements regarding his sheep shall be fulfilled indeed and in fullness. Not in part and without exception. He doesn't say my sheep might hear my voice. He doesn't say my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they might follow me or they might try to follow me. He doesn't say my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me sometimes and I give them eternal life, but I might take it away again and they might perish or they might not. No, no, these are absolute truths. No exception. You say, but yeah, but in the book of Hebrews, listen, the book of Hebrews is true scripture given by the inspiration of God. But the book of Hebrews, what Paul wrote in that book, is not going to overthrow the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to try to make Paul contradict Jesus, then you're confused. You don't know what Paul's teaching. These words stand as absolute truth, and these should be beautiful, wonderful, comforting words to your soul. If, of course, you're one of his sheep. Now, I'd love to continue, but we're going to have to wrap it up. We're out of time for this session. Six beautiful, wonderful truths about our Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and his sheep, and the relationship they have, and the wonderful gift of what he's going to give them, and the guaranteed protection. It's beautiful. Let's lay these to heart. Let's drink this in. Let's believe it with all our hearts. In fact, if you believe it, it's probably proof that you're of his sheep. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he's going to go even the next step and show about his father and his father's part with the sheep and just seal this deal completely and then reveal a wonderful truth regarding him and the father. Because ultimately, all the wonderful things that we're going to get in Christ and that we're going to experience through Christ, none of those things would be possible if it didn't start with Christ and his Father. But we'll save those verses for next time. This is session number 73 of the Gospel according to John. Today we looked at John chapter number 10, verses 27 and 28. Amen and amen.